broadcasting for the left longer than Air America has been around. It's Bart Cop Radio.
Peter Jennings died since we did our last radio show. And, you know, I'm not the type of guy that just insists on dumping on a guy right after he died. But on the other hand, I don't think a whole lot of crazy-ass lies should be told about someone when they die either. When someone dies, people just start lying. The other night we watched, a little sidebar here, the other night we watched a thing on one of the horror networks on the BTK killer. And what are the odds that everybody that this monster killed was the sweetest, nicest, most loving, always a smile on her face, would do anything for anybody, always there to help someone else, never thought of themselves? I mean, please, I'm sorry that he killed these people, and no doubt some of them were fine people, but just because a monster murders you, it's just ridiculous to make up a bunch of crap about a fellow because he's dead. So Peter Jennings is no longer with us, but check out a couple of these crazy-ass things that were said about Peter Jennings. From the U.S. Horror Today, a trusted voice is lost. Well, you know, I would guess, what, 8 million or something, 10 million people watch Peter Jennings a night on the news. And so for those 8 or 10 million people, I suppose he seemed like a friend. If you choose to get your news from Jennings instead of Rather or Brokaw, in the old days, then fine. But, you know, to think of him, oh, a trusted voice. I mean, please. He was a corporate shill that was handed words to read. And they're going to tell you that that's not true, but and you can't believe him. Jennings' focus on foreign news presciently. Now, see, that is true. They say of the three, he was more of a foreign news guy. Now, I believe that's true, so we're going to admit that's true. Peter Jennings had more of a worldview. Okay, we'll give him that. Jennings' focus on foreign news presciently let Americans know how events in some far-off place like Afghanistan could forever change their lives. It's no coincidence that the ABC broadcast is called World News Tonight. In recent interviews, he lamented how the network should cut back on foreign coverage. Well, yeah, they got to make more money. And if they can make more money by shutting down news bureaus around the world, then that's what they're going to do. But here comes the crazy stuff. For someone with a reputation as being unflappable, Jennings bristled at occasional charges of bias from both the left and the right. He knew that criticism went with the territory, but was bothered that the public didn't realize, quote, how much soul-searching goes on in news organizations about what is the right thing to do. That is bullshit. When did he ever do a story critical of Bush? I know one time he said something like Bush wasn't popular or something. Oh, and he got hit for it, and he never said another word about it. But, you know, if you're going to cave in every single time, let's say every time another Bush scandal comes across his desk, he did all this soul-searching. But then every damn time he decided not to broadcast it. Now, isn't that amazing? What kind of soul-searching does it take if every time you're going to come up with the same conclusion, protect the monkey? That's what we call a lie in the business. Also in USA Today, wherever Peter Johnson is, he wrote, but like his longtime competitors Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather, Jennings had enough influence within ABC News to push for serious, in-depth stories and coverage of world events that mattered to him and he felt viewers needed to know about whether they realized it or not. And that's something viewers might never see again. So if they're going to give Jennings the credit for deciding which stories got on the air, then he gets all the blame for the constant Clinton's cock stories and the never ever on anything about Bush. Now, I know Peter Jennings works for ABC. ABC is owned by Disney. Disney wants to make money. They have to make money for their shareholders. And so they don't rock the boat. You don't give people the news of the day. You give them what they want to hear so you can score more points in the ratings. So, if they're going to say that Jennings had a hand in everything, they did his Tribune on ABC, I saw part of that, and they said, oh, hardly ever did he get a story come across his desk that he didn't cross out something and add or change or something. So if, and that's the portrayal they're trying to give. So then he gets all the blame, all this Halliburton stuff, all this monkey stealing the election in 2000 and probably again in 2004. All that, he doesn't. He did absolute zero to make that situation right. He did nothing to give us the news that we needed about the government being taken over by a bunch of crazy people and lying us into war. When was the big expose that Peter Jennings did about we went to war for all the wrong reasons? Why is that not? We don't have one third of the drumbeat that we had about we're going to war. Oh, boy. Oh, this is good. This is going to be great. We're going to war. Hooray, hooray. We're going to war. That's what we got from all three of the big networks, or four if you count Fox. But it was a constant drumbeat. We're with you, W. We're patriotic. We're going to sing the national anthem. We're going to wave the flag. And we're going to go to war because W said we had to. And then when it turned out it was all a big lie, they said, well, by God, we're there to spread democracy. And that's all bullshit, and nobody would call it. Let's not lie to ourselves about Peter Jennings because the man died. Dying is no reason for you to give up your logic and your honesty. And here we go. I mentioned Bill Richardson. Listen to this crap that Bill Richardson said about Peter Jennings. Quote, he always had the courage to ask the tough questions and demand answers. He set a high standard for TV journalists, and his influence will be felt for generations to come. My God, does anybody remember Peter Jennings asking the tough questions? Does anybody remember Peter Jennings demanding answers? Unless it was about Clinton's cock, I don't remember any demands for information. Certainly not from the Bush administration. You know, Jesus Christ, one of the first things Bush did when he got there was to start hiding things, hiding his governor papers, hiding Reagan's papers, hide everything, no more information, everything shut down. You don't deserve the truth. You don't need the truth. We keep quiet at this White House. And the reporter said, okay, that's okay. We don't need it. If you think it's best that you hide everything, then we're with you. We're on board. We agree. No problem. We're not going to raise a stink. We're not anywhere else. My God, if Clinton won time tried to hide. Oh, what's he hiding? We got every news organization in America would put teams of people on it to find out what is he hiding? What's the secret? Because they might find a little semen somewhere. But if it's 2,000 dead soldiers, it's none of our business. The president said don't bother, so we won't. Boy, that makes me effing sick. And here's one letter to the editor. Peter Jennings earned the public's trust. Well, maybe I'm not the public, but I didn't trust him because he wouldn't tell the damn truth. When he spoke, you listened and trusted him. He may not have always told you the reassuring news you wanted to hear, but he told the truth, says Kenneth Zimmerman, Huntington Beach, California. That is not true. He did not tell the truth. He chose to eat the truth. He chose to keep the truth to himself. He chose to give us the news that would make his program higher rated. So that's a big bullshit lie. I don't like big bullshit lies. Peter, sorry to lose you. Sorry that you're gone. But I'm not going to give up rationality because you got lung cancer and died. You did a piss-poor job as a reporter. And, you know, the fact that you may have been one of the better ones, that shows you part of the problem. There are no reporters on television, let's say, that tell the truth. Where is someone on television that tells the truth? You don't see it. You got the occasional Joe Connison, Gene Lyons kind of, Helen Thomas kind of truths, but the big media does everything they can to bury them. When was the last time you saw Joe Connison on television? You know, you get these monkey idiots that are constantly on Fox News and CNN, these idiots, these Clinton-slurring bastards are constantly... When is the last time you saw Joe Connison or Gene Lyons or Helen Thomas on television being interviewed or given their views on a story? You don't see that because they're liable to tell the truth, and we can't have that. So you get the people who are willing to play the game. You get the same Democratic turncoat talking heads on all these shows. Any Democrat that says Bush is a good guy immediately goes to the front of the line. They put you all over television. If you say Bush is a good guy and this is a good war, you are all over the place. You can't turn on a TV without finding that guy. But where is the honesty? When was the last time you saw Eric Altman on television? When was the last time you saw anybody honest on television? It's very damn rare. And that's partly Peter's fault.
And the beat goes on. The beat goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da. And the beat goes on.
Yes, the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
The beat goes on.
Yeah, Bart, it's Eddie, one of your pillars from Oklahoma. I'm standing at Camp Casey. Going to be on first shift of security duty till midnight Saturday night. So if you get this and want to give me a call, that'd be fine. My number is 1-405. Drove in tonight, but anyway, planning on being here most of the day tomorrow. Try to spend Saturday night out here. Probably 200 or 300 people here on site. Another probably similar number back at the Peace House in Crawford. A lot of people from Texas, from Dallas area, from Austin area. And I talked to a woman that was in from New Jersey. She was in Vietnam last week and heard about it on CNN and got home to New Jersey and said she just couldn't stand not being here, even though she just got back from a big trip. Like I say, spirits seem to be high. Everybody's very, very mellow, very comfortable. And we'll see how it goes tonight. Thanks a bunch. Talk to you soon. Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye. Yeah, Bart, this is Eddie down here at Camp Casey outside of Crawford, Texas. It's about 11 o'clock Sunday morning. We just concluded a chapel service. Cindy Sheehan has arrived, and I think is heading over for some interviews now. Anyway, I got to talk to her a minute and just tell her that I was here representing my family and a lot of other Oklahomans to stand in support with her while we could. Just wish her well. Appreciate her sacrifice. Anyway, I got a picture of her with a Bart Cup sticker. Had a couple of CDs left over from last year I've been passing out and a few stickers. So anyway, trying to put in a plug for you where I can. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Bart. Hi, Bart, it's Eddie, making a final report on my way back from Camp Casey. They're having a interfaith service. It was interrupted, I found out. I knew all the media had pulled out and gone over to something else, but I didn't know what it was. Found out one of the landowners across the road didn't like us disrupting his life, I suppose. Supposedly had pulled out a firearm of some sort. I've heard shotgun, I've heard .22 rifle. I don't know if he held it in the air or what, but anyway, that was what the big confrontation was. I suppose we'll be able to see it all on the evening news. Was able to pass out some more Bart Cup CDs and stickers. Anyway, there were several people there that were aware of you, had heard of you, visited the site before, so I thank them for that and encourage them to tell others. PeaceInPinkShoes.com. Anyway, heading back home. Talk to you soon. Goodbye from Texas. This was so unexpected. I never thought I'd get caught. They pulled me around with the demons.
I'd like to say a few words about this John Roberts character that the Incredible Monkey has nominated to rule on the Supreme Court for the next 40 years. First thing we should say about John Roberts is he thinks women are too stupid to have control over their reproductive choices. He thinks women are so stupid that they have to have an old, fat, white Republican in Washington, D.C. make their family planning decisions for them because they're too stupid. You see, a uterus makes a person stupid. So if you have a uterus, you can't be trusted with your future and your family's future. You've got to call Tom DeLay or the idiot monkey or this John Roberts. You've got to call someone up there and have them okay all of your reproductive decisions because you're stupid, because you have a uterus. That's kind of amazing in the year 2005. But since women refuse to vote for their own rights, we have Republicans in office. And that's kind of goofy there, too. in one way. Why should I? I don't have a uterus. I have a penis. And we're kind of past the pregnancy stage at Casa de Bart anyway. So this is not really my fight, but I think for the overall good of the country, we shouldn't tell the biggest voting bloc in America that they're too stupid to control their own bodies. But this is what Republicans think, and women vote for Republicans, apparently, and so they're in charge. But this John Roberts, I don't like the guy. I don't like anybody who is going to call women stupid because they have a uterus. In a sane America, that would disqualify you from holding position on the Supreme Court. But again, since women refuse to vote for their own rights, since women line up to vote for monkeys who want to deprive them of their rights, we have this problem. Now, what happened the first day they announced John Roberts? Every Democrat I can think of ran before a camera to say John Roberts was a nice guy and a good guy and a smart guy and had a lot of integrity. He's good and he's smart and he's got a good sense of humor and he's a lot of integrity and he's a nice guy and he's smart and he's good. And these are the Democrats, once again, leading the charge to help the stupid monkey ruin America. Why the hell can't the Democrats shut up? If it wasn't for websites like MoveOn.org and a couple others, you would never even hear anything about this John Roberts, because the Democrats keep telling us what a great guy he is. Oh, they all know him well, even though none of us have ever heard of the guy. Oh, they all know him well. He's smart, and he's good and decent, and he's honest, and he's a good guy, and he's smart, and he's qualified, and he's a good guy, and he's smart, and he's young. He's going to be here, like I say, 40 years. He's going to be telling women they're too damn stupid to control their own reproductive decisions, and the women are going to line up to vote for this guy, and it kind of pisses me off. You don't think women are stupid, do you? Maybe that all curves around somehow. Geez, I better cut that part out. But why won't women vote to control their own destiny? No, they vote to let George Bush pick a white guy to make their decisions for them. That's stupid. But fortunately, as I predicted hundreds of times, we have the Republicans to stand up and correct the mistakes that the Democrats refuse to mention. The Republicans now have dug up some information that this John Roberts did some pro bono work. That means he worked for free to help a gay rights organization. That's what I heard Wolf the Whore say, so I don't know if it's true or not. Also, today is the, hell, I don't know what day it is. Time moves so fast. But they've discovered today that he had an excited utterance, what they call in the courtroom, about the Terri Schiavo matter. They asked him, should the government be butting in? Should people like Tom DeLay and George Bush be butting in when a private family decides to make a private decision about a private matter? Do we need big government with their boot on every family's throat when it comes time to make these major life and death decisions? And John Roberts said, no, we don't need government interference in a case like that. And I say, in a case like that. The White House is saying he never commented on Schiavo. He might have commented on some, wacky hypothetical, but he didn't comment on Schiavo. But the truth is, he said, in a case like that, I think the government ought to butt the hell out. So this has got the hand job crazy wing of the Republican Party all in a tither, because here we got a guy, he's helping the gays, and he's trying to help the family who doesn't want the government to interfere with their life and death decisions. So now the Republicans are finding things wrong with John Roberts because the Democrats love him so damn much, and it pisses me off. If the Democrats, you know, they don't have to say bad things about the guy. I'm not asking the Democrats to stand up and say, I hate John Roberts. I think he's a scumbag. What they ought to say, and it's so easy, it's so fucking easy to do this. I could have done this when I was 8 years old. But here's what they're doing. Bush is standing there every day screaming, the Democrats won't allow a vote. The Democrats are stonewalling. The Democrats are blocking the will of the people. The will of the people put the Republicans in charge, and the Democrats are trying to block, and they're going on and on, and the Democrats are standing there going, I'm sorry, I'm ashamed of myself. You know what would be so easy for the Democrats to do? What if the Democrats were to say, we don't know a lot about John Roberts. We'd like to know more, but the president is withholding things that the man has written, and they're withholding the information on cases that he's ruled on. Now, if the White House would stop stonewalling, we could get down to the matter and take care of it and give the man a vote. But we can't do it. The White House is trying to force us to confirm the man before we know anything about him. That's the definition of prejudice, to prejudge. The White House wants us to vote for a guy we don't know much about. And we're a little concerned about that because he's going to be on the court for 40 years making decisions that affect us, our kids, our grandchildren, etc., etc. But the president, apparently there's something wrong with the man's record because the president is hiding his record. He's hiding his record just like you're hiding Reagan. I read the other day they're trying to make, I think, 16th Street in Washington, D.C. They're trying to make that Reagan Avenue. And they said, oh, Ronald Reagan was the icon of America. Yeah, 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 I hear all that. But if Ronald Reagan was such an icon, if he was a positive influence on America, why is George Bush hiding his presidential papers? They're under lock and key where nobody can get to them. You know why? Because there's evidence of serious global BFEE crimes in the Reagan papers. And everybody knows it, but the Democrats don't care. The idea that Bush is withholding evidence, that's okay with the Democrats. Why? They'd have to stand up and fight to see what Bush is hiding, and they won't do that. Mr. Rove might get angry, and we can't have that. So Bush, all around the nation, they've got hundreds and hundreds of streets. They're doing libraries. They're doing ships. They're doing every goddamn thing you can think of, naming it after Reagan because he was so great. But we're not allowed to look at the Reagan record because there's something in there that makes Bush look guilty or proves Bush guilty. And they can't allow that. So it would be so easy for the Democrats to say, tell you what, we're going to block everything we can that has Reagan's name on it until they release the Reagan papers. Once we get to see the Reagan record, we probably will vote for your street once we get to see the Reagan papers. But as long as you're hiding something from us that makes us suspicious, and we don't want to be naming a bunch of streets and a bunch of libraries and a bunch of ships after a guy who may be involved in some very, very serious global crimes with his Vice President Bush the Smarter. But no, the Democrats can't think like that. They don't have a chance to use their brain. They're too afraid. They can't even start the thinking process. They're so paralyzed with fear. Oh, God damn, that makes me so mad that the Democrats are so fucking weak. They're such little four-year-old girls. Oh, please help me, somebody. I'm so helpless. I'm so scared. That's every Democrat. I carve a little out to the side for Hillary because she can't speak freely until she's got the reins in her hand. You can't be screaming, turn left, turn right, turn left, turn right. No, when you're behind a wheel, you get to make your decisions like that. But right now, Hillary can't do that. So I'm saying to the other 43, whatever it is, senators, you scared, lily-livered little bums. You refuse to do your jobs. I hope you all get voted out. If you're not going to do your jobs, we might as well have a Senate, 100 Republicans in the Senate, if the Democrats are just going to praise every nominee, every woman-hating nominee that Bush comes up with, if they're going to praise the guy while the Republicans have a problem with him. Son of a bitch, what's wrong with this party? Why can't anybody get off their ass and do some work? Got that blood pressure problem again. Okay, so if Bush would release the Reagan papers, we might vote for some things. You know, we could almost make him a deal. Tell you what, we'll vote to put Reagan on the $5 bill or the $10 bill. Hamilton, maybe he doesn't deserve to be, well, he invented the banks, but we'll look real hard for a place for Reagan on the money if you release every single Reagan paper right now. You do it right now, you do it before the end of business today, and we will seriously consider putting Reagan on a paper bill, on paper currency. Okay, so back to Roberts. As long as Bush is hiding the Roberts information like he's hiding the Reagan information, that is proof that there's something wrong. You don't hide stuff with there's nothing wrong with it. If Roberts' record is fine, if he's okay, if he's a guy who's ruled like a normal, sane conservative for all these years, then hey, no problem, let's confirm the guy. But, well, I'm sorry, you don't want to confirm a guy who says women are too stupid to take care of their own choices. But the point being, if there's nothing wrong with the guy, if he's worthy of our vote, why can't we look at his record? But no, we can't look at his record because Bush refuses to let the record come out, and the Democrats don't have a problem with that. The Democrats are going to stand there like dumb asses and take the blame for blocking the will of the people instead of saying, we're not stonewalling, the White House is stonewalling. All we want to see is the evidence before we rule. Does the jury go into deliberations the first morning of the trial? No, they look at the evidence first. They listen to testimony. They weigh the evidence. They think about it. They judge it. They think long and hard about the conclusions they've come to. After they've seen the evidence, then they vote. That's all the Democrats have to do is say, fine, we'll schedule a vote for this John Roberts character after you release the papers. Release every paper. If you miss one paper, if you withhold one piece of paper from us, I guarantee we will filibuster until the cows come home. So we want every paper. We want it right now. But no, the poor Democrats, they're too stupid. They're too scared. I could run this party. I could run it so much better than they're running. And I don't know a damn thing about how to run a party. But I know that cowering and apologizing and begging the opponent for mercy is not how you win.
Hello, amigo. I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way, and when they're flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad. You can put them in a pie. Any way you want to eat them, it's impossible to beat them. But bananas like the climate of the very, very tropical equator. So you should never put bananas in the refrigerator. To have bananas that are fully ripe, you must be absolutely sure to take them home and let them ripen.
Sure. Don't know if you heard, don't know if you care, but Krispy Kreme, the donut people, are in some pretty big trouble. They have been lying about their earnings for the last 5 years, and now they're having to go back. They say they're having to restate their books going back to 2000, maybe beyond, but they've had to take a $25 million, what do they call that? A hit, whatever. They've taken a $25 million hit to put their books back in line because they've been cooking the books. They've been lying about how much money they're making. When you lie about how much money your corporation is making and you're selling stock, that's a crime because you're stealing money. If you try to buy Superman comic number one from me for whatever, $10,000, and when you get it, turns out it's number 10, well, see, now I sold you something. I misled you on what you were buying. And that's the same thing with Krispy Kreme. So I want to read you this paragraph here about the lying people at the Krispy Kreme. You know, them donuts taste good, but hey, if you cook the books, you commit a crime, you're in trouble. Reading from the USA Today, the report blames Living Good and Tate, the two bad guys, for Krispy Kreme's woes, saying they had led a corporate culture driven by a narrowly focused goal of exceeding projected earnings by a penny each quarter. They bear primary responsibility for failing to set the management tone, environment, and controls essential for meeting the company's responsibilities as a public company. Krispy Kreme and its shareholders have paid dearly for these failures, as measured by the loss in market value, a loss in confidence in the credibility and integrity of management, and the considerable costs required to address those failures. Bottom line, Living Good and Tate lost their jobs at Krispy Kreme because they lied when they set the tone. It says here, they bear responsibility for failing to set the management tone, environment, and controls essential for meeting the company's responsibility as a public company. Now, what did George Bush do with Iraq? Isn't it true that George Bush failed to set the tone of honesty when he lied us into that bloody, endless war? Now, why is it if you're the president of a donut company and you lie, you get forced out? And now, I don't know if they'll do time or if they'll pay a fine or whatever, but when it's donuts, you have to take responsibility. When it's 2,000 soldiers' lives, you get to just say, never mind, and you just don't worry about it. I'm the president, just don't ask me, and you get away with that. The media is letting them get away with that. The Democrats are letting them get away with that. But the donut people, now see, donuts are important. Donuts are more important than servicemen's lives, is what I'm reading in the USA Today. Why is it that if you lie about donuts, you have to step down? If you lie about a world war, a never-ending, put $100 million a day in your pocket world war, if you lie about that, that's okay. You lose a little bit of approval, but you get to keep your job, you get to keep your $100 million a day, and the press gets on their side. Oh, that pisses me off. Why is it that it's only serious when it is donuts, but if it's men's lives, then that's okay? You don't have to tell the truth about a war, but you have to tell the truth about donuts. That's crazy. Why do we live in a crazy world? Because the press won't do their damn jobs, and we can't wake a Democrat up. What will it take?
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nazis in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
We'll be right back with Bart Cop Radio.